Coming to Mar-a-Lago, the greatest venue on the planet. Very nice, by the way, the bride, very beautiful. Not as hot as Ivanka, but still pretty good. So you did nice work. Whatever your name is, I don't know who the hell you are. But anyway, our country is going to hell. And remind me not to have any more Diet Cokes, okay? They go into my head. But the country totally sucks, but I want to say, the bridesmaids over there, not the big one. You can step aside. You're right. Yes, you, the blonde. Very nice. We would like to talk to you later about a possible position with the Trump organization, okay? But obviously you're lucky to be having the wedding here, so you're welcome. And, you know, I think somebody's uncle was talking before I overheard as a Biden supporter, so we are currently urinating all over his luggage. We got some of our great staff to do that. But, you know, we're trying to save the country. Okay, I have Sidney Powell right now arguing the case at a food court, and I think she's won over the Sbarro's cashier. So I think we're gonna get a very good judgment soon. We're gonna take back the country. Wait, I gotta say, okay, no, it's, would you tell the bride to stop? You're not pretty enough to, you know, make this about you. Just stop. If you would mind, if you could just leave, you can have the dance a little bit later. Thank you. Security, please take the bride out of here. I'm talking. So, not you, though, bridesmaid. We want you to stay here. Thank you. And father of the bride, you know, you tried, but she's no Ivanka. Believe me, during that first dance, you know, father-daughter dance, it was, let's just say we were at full attention. But the country's going to hell. You're welcome for the venue. Because of the uncle who supports Sleepy Joe, we're raising the prices on everybody's room. So you're welcome. Have a nice night, and we'll see what happens.
The modern conservative movement seems concerned above all else with preserving their solemn right to be dicks to everyone else around them. They like to say facts don't care about your feelings until you hurt their feelings by politely asking them to wear a mask or stop using racist slurs, and then they melt down like they're being hobbled by Kathy Bates. Case in point, yesterday a reporter politely asked Ted Cruz to wear a mask during a press conference inside the Capitol. Now remember that Cruz had the option to get vaccinated early because he's technically a senator, even though he looks like the guy who has to work the stockroom at AutoZone because he's too creepy for the register. Need my help out there, boss? We're good. But most people had to wait. And while there's some early, preliminary proof that the vaccines help stop the spread of COVID, we just still don't know for sure, especially with the rise of several more contagious variants. So if you're a decent, normal person and someone politely asks you to wear a mask in their company, you do it. Ted Cruz, however, took it as yet another opportunity to be a giant ass.
Would you mind putting a mask on for us?
Yeah, when I'm talking to the TV camera, I'm not going to wear a mask, and all of us have been immunized, so.
It'd make us feel better.
You're welcome to step away if you like.
Man, Ted Cruz is the Steph Curry of being a giant dick. He never misses a shot. He's the kind of guy who would come over to your house for a dinner party, and when you politely ask him to take his feet off the table, would say, you're welcome to leave if you like. Again, remember, in that situation, Ted Cruz was the one who was vaccinated. He's the one who was unlikely to get sick. But apparently, he couldn't care less if anyone else in the room got sick. And as a reminder, just because you personally get vaccinated doesn't mean the pandemic is magically over. The virus is still circulating. There's still variants out there. And until case numbers are much lower and vaccination rates are much higher, other people around you are still at risk. And by the way, Cruz was also wrong about the official CDC guidance, as CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta explained.
The CDC guidance, I just pulled it up again because the guidance does change, admittedly. But it says even if you've been fully vaccinated, you need to keep taking precautions in public places, wearing a mask, staying 6 feet apart, avoiding crowds. For him, he's pretty well protected, admittedly, against getting severely ill, requiring hospitalization. He may not be as well protected against moderate illness, mild illness, and the possibility that he could still transmit the virus to somebody else. So when he's not wearing a mask, he's potentially putting other people in that room at risk.
And that's not even taking into account that anytime you enter a room with Ted Cruz, you're already at risk of being in a room with Ted Cruz.
So it's past midnight. I'm standing on the shore of the Rio Grande. The water is right behind me. I'm down the Texas border.
Now, at first glance, you might be thinking, there has got to be a better way to get to Cancun than this. But there's a different reason for Lion Ted's excellent adventure.
Ridiculous theater.
Yeah, with the faux outrage over Dr. Seuss having outlived its usefulness, Republicans needed a new way to stoke the right-wing grievance machine. So Cruz was joined by 18 other GOP senators on this stunt trip to the border so they could pretend to give a about immigrants for once. And of course, blame Joe Biden. They want to frame the current surge of immigration as a massive crisis brought on exclusively by Joe Biden's more humane border policies. But apprehensions at the border have been on the rise every month since their pandemic low in April of 2020. This didn't start on the day Joe Biden was sworn in. Yet the media, all of them, not just Fox, is more than happy to join the Republicans on the border crisis train, given that their ratings have plummeted in the post-Trump era. A manufactured crisis suits their purposes as much as a real one does. Now, all of this isn't to say that there's not a serious problem at the border. Biden has certainly got his work cut out for him. But Republican lawmakers ain't interested in actually helping solve the issues here. They had the chance to pass bipartisan immigration reform under Obama, and instead they blew that bill up. And they did the same thing under Bush. When Biden rolled out his immigration plan in February, it got zero backing from Republicans. No, their entire immigration plan in recent years has boiled down to nothing more than build the wall. They want a crisis at the border because it helps them politically.
Look, it's absolutely frustrating that the mainstream media has essentially laundered GOP talking points by making it sound like there's a political crisis or national security crisis on the border, or that Biden created it out of thin air, or ludicrously, asking him if he moved too quickly in undoing Trump's cruel and inhumane and dysfunctional border policies. But on the other hand, there is a very real humanitarian situation on the border with unaccompanied minors who are fleeing poverty and violence and exercising their legal right to asylum. They deserve safety and aid and to be treated compassionately and humanely. And to his credit, Biden did say they should be treated humanely. We're capable of having all of those thoughts at the same time. And I know that's a change from the Trump era when our brains were so fried we were incapable having even one thought at a time. For most of the Trump era, my brain was so overloaded, I forgot my kid's name. I just called him Guy and Dude or Lev and Igor. The moment Trump left office, I suddenly remembered my ATM pin and my wedding anniversary, which is why her present was $200 in 20s. And there were some other weird moments, too, like when Biden was asked about the tidal wave of GOP voter suppression laws Republicans have unleashed, the most ferocious nationwide assault on voting rights since Jim Crow, with more than 250 anti-voting bills across 43 states. Biden correctly pointed that out, but then went for an odd line that I'm not sure made sense.
What I'm worried about is how un-American this whole initiative is. It's sick. It's sick. And so I'm convinced that we'll be able to stop this because it is the most pernicious thing. This makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle.
Jim Eagle? Talking about the Muppet?
I would just like to say a few words about nudity in the world today. And I, for one, am just appalled by it. What, did you know that underneath their clothing, the entire population of the world is walking around completely naked? Is that disgusting? And it's not just people, although goodness knows that's bad enough. But animals too. Even cute little doggies and pussycats can't be trusted. Underneath their fur, absolutely naked. And it's not just the quadrupeds either. Birds, too, yes. Beneath those fine feathers, birds wear nothing, nothing at all.
Well, how do you feel about nudity?
Well, personally, it always left me cold.
Thanks for the songs this week from Husker Du, Heather Gardner, and Saturday Night Live. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Seth Meyers, Deborah Beers, Donald Trumpf, Bob Woodward, Harris Faulkner, Rachel Maddow, Jimmy Kimmel, Gary Tuchman, Joe Biden, Blaine Erskine, J.L. Covan, Ted Cruz, Sanjay Gupta, and Sam the Eagle.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Yeah, for some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Oh!
Hey!
Damn.
Hey!
You got it?
11:30 this morning, I went and took the shot.
Hey. Which one did you get?
I got the Moderna.
Congratulations,
okay.
Family.
Yes, I went this morning, and I went, and you know what? I think talking to you guys really changed my mind, talking to Slay, and, you know, with Slay having the baby, and he keep mentioning him getting the shot, ain't no way he gonna let me around the baby if I don't have the shot. So I'm like, well, damn, you know, and then Eddie got the shot, but then I started thinking, because I had a conversation with Lynn, and it was a short conversation with Lynn and Tom, of the radio, and they were like, hey, do you guys want to come back into the studio to do your show? And I was like, well, right now we're good with the Zoom, but maybe one day we might want to come back in. And then Tom said, well, yeah, okay, as long as you guys can just show your vaccination cards, we're good. Whoa. And I was like, oh, damn. I got to get a shot to do free radio? I said, oh. I said, and then, you know, I went on to Columbia County Health Department. I got lucky, and I went in, and it was really cool. I will tell people that's listening in our area, man, this was so cool, so fast. So I got the appointment yesterday. I signed up. It was for 11:30. Obviously, I arrived early. I went through the check-in process. They took your fever, and then they do them in 15s. So they send 15 people in at one time. And once you get inside, they just give you a little education. You put your name on a card and they basically ask you, you know, are you allergic to anything? They tell you exactly what's going to happen and they move you off to another station. When you get to that second station, it's the shot. The shot takes a half a second and it feels like nothing. And then after that, you go into an observation section. And depending on if you had any allergies or anything like that, if you had allergies or anything like that, you might have to stay for 30 minutes. But if not, you only stay for 15. And in those 15 minutes, you make your next appointment for your second shot. So okay. It was really cool. I have no side effects right now. Like I said, I got it at 11:30. I feel great. The lady just told me to drink a lot of water. But I do recommend it only because I don't see them making it mandatory, but I see them making it, if you don't have it, you just can't do the same things that everybody do. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It definitely does. Hey, man, just to tag team on your experience real quick, the way they did it for me was it was in my car. I never got out of my car. And we pulled up to the one station, gave them the paperwork, went to the next station. They reached in through the window, gave me a shot in the arm, and just pulled up my sleeve. And then I had to go drive my car around these cones and park for 15 minutes for observation in my car. And they kind of like wrote the time that I got my shot
on
my window.
Yeah.
We already on.
And then I was gone. I was good, right back to work. No stress.
Yeah, I went to Columbia Green, and you can go to Columbia County Health Department, the website, and you can set up an appointment. But like I said, in the beginning, I was one of the people like, there's no way I'm getting this.
I think we all were.
not Slay. Slay was dead on. Slay was dead on. India definitely was like, no. Jay was like, I don't know, but I think not. Eddie, me and you was like, no, I'm not.
Yeah, I was definitely no.
It was dead issues for us.
Mine was a hard no.
Yeah, it was. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mine was a hard no.
And it was one of the reasons why I wanted to have this conversation, because I think with the way that the world is changing right now, we're in positions like, I want to travel, and I can't. I can't travel without that shot. I can, but it's so much more. But I'm going to tell you right now, so I got my shot, right? So then I came back and I went to Stewart's and I had my mask on. I just wanted to take my mask off. Like, I'm good.
Look, y'all got my shot.
Oh, I was so good.
You peasants.
And then if somebody say, well, you ain't got no mask on, I was going to pull out my car. Boom. I ain't got no damn mask on. But I'm going to continue to wear my mask and do whatever it takes. But I would suggest, if you want to get out of this stuck at home and not being able to move around, I would suggest that everybody look into some of the shots that might work for them. But so far, I'm pretty good. I have no problems.
Could you maybe at some point just like curse or say something completely Looney Tunes or offensive? The other guy used to do that, and it just made this whole thing a little funnier. I'm just trying to work with you here.
We're live in 3, 2.
Welcome back. I'm joined now by a man some people believe is the President of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden. Robinette?
Yes.
Don't even have to write a joke about that. Joe, can I call you Joe?
No.
Girl, we have a lot to talk about.
A lot to talk about.
As the coronavirus continues to wreak havoc, Americans are getting restless and frustrated, if you know what I mean.
One of the disappointments when we came into office is the circumstance relating to how the administration was handling COVID was even more dire than we thought. We thought they indicated there was a lot more vaccine available. And it didn't turn out to be the case.
Because we're doing so much testing.
Huh? Oh. Excuse me, I think I must have fallen a...
You don't ask Biden tough questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I'm still having flashbacks. Sometimes he visits me in my dreams.
So we're pushing as hard as we can to get more vaccine manufactured.
You now say we'll have enough supply for every adult to be vaccinated by May. Does this mean I can go to Cancun for spring break with Ted Cruz and the gals?
Well, I didn't say that.
Mr. Biden, bring my vaccine. Keep me protected from COVID-19. Tell me the trick to how I'm Moderna. Fix of that magic Pfizer or Moderna. Biden, give me a poke. They call you sleepy, but you're pretty woke. I'm so tired of quarantine. Mr. Biden, bring my vaccine. Please bring me
Biden, I'm not afraid.
Yeah, I'm really not afraid.
Inoculate me.
won't you stay? I'm numb. My hat. Oh, I see.
Please,
Mr. Biden.
Yes.
Bring my vaccine. I want a trick or treat when we hit Halloween. Give me that double dose and make me go out cheap. So I can plant a kiss on Dr. Fauci.
Yes.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
No.
on a very first date, and she let me kiss her. And from that moment on, I couldn't resist her. When I finally touched her, I felt the thunder and endurable smile. Took me under, she had infection with slips and a real smooth walk. She turned me on, just by the way she talked. I called my doctor, I said, doctor, please. But it was too late, I had a love disease.
Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, and you're tuned to WGXC 90.7 FM Accra.
The Cara Historical Society was established in 2009. Our mission is to collect, study, interpret, and preserve the history of the town of Cara, New York, for the educational and cultural enrichment of present and future generations. We love to bring history alive through our programming, such as our Hometown Heroes banner program, our State of the Union dinners, our Victorian teas. Each teach history while having fun. Members receive absolutely free our quarterly journal, the Cara Herald, which is jam-packed with historical articles, pictures, and society news. Everyone, however, can access the Cara Historical Society's Facebook page, which is a treasure trove of Cara history and memories. It's easy to become part of our historical family. Call Sylvia at 518-821-3852 or email the Cara Historical Society at cairohistsociety@yahoo.com.
It's a song for, by, and about Greene County. Blue jean, jelly bean, 16 seam machine, serene, queen bee clean, lean, gleam, butter bean, Halloween, silver screen, time machine, tambourine, aquamarine, computer screen, canteen, between marine, ravine, black bean, steam clean, sardine, wolverine, tangerine, figurine, string bean, dream, dream. Greene County music only on WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Timothy Simmons of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Aaliyah Snyder is reporting for Columbia Green Media. A group of Philmont residents is looking to evaluate economic development for small businesses. The organization, Philmont Economic Development Group, consists of Chair Peter Johnson, members Jean Gibletti, Karen Davala, Jeff French, and Susan Machihas. Gibletti asked the Village Board March 24th to recognize the group because it needs support from the trustees to become an official economic development committee and be eligible to receive grants accordingly. Board member Douglas Cromper said Philmont Mayor-elect Brian Johnson will appoint trustees to various committees at the Village Organizational Meeting next week. Cromper said Johnson will likely appoint an economic development representative from the board who can move forward with the committee. Gibletti said, and I quote, "We are aware that other towns and villages in the county are doing this and we are feeling a little bit left out," end quote. A thorough assessment of local businesses has not been done in the past 25 years, she added. The group has identified 10 objectives for the village, including identify local market needs and opportunities for businesses, direct activities and other organizations involved in economic development in the area, identify investment and grant opportunities for the village, and make recommendations to the Board of Trustees, promote Philmont's potential for water power energy generation, and more. The group's general focus will be on small business, but its members are keen to help the village investigate the potential for water power development. Gibletti said the village is in danger of becoming a, and I quote, nonprofit ghetto, end quote. She called that phenomenon, and I quote, a very bad thing, end quote, because it skews the tax burden to homeowners. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Emily Munson reports for the Times Union that if the infrastructure bill proposed by President Joe Biden March 31st passes, travelers on Amtrak locally would see improved service. The proposal would create new service between Albany and Boston along existing track by 2035 and improve service from Montreal to New York City, from Albany to Rutland, Vermont, and from Albany to Toronto via Niagara Falls. The proposal would spend $80 billion over 8 years. Sean Jeans-Gale, Vice President of Policy and Government Affairs at the Rail Passengers Association, said, and I quote, "There are a number of real physical, capable, intensive projects that are lined up, ready to go, and need the money. We would be talking about increased reliability, increased average speeds, which when you are talking about a corridor as extensive as the Northeast Corridor, that means increased capacity," end quote. This week, Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said no Republican in his chamber would vote for the bill. Democrat House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, meanwhile, says she hopes to pass the bill by July. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Mid-Hudson News is reporting the State Department of Environmental Conservation has announced the recreational striped bass fishing season in the Hudson River and its tributaries north of the George Washington Bridge has begun. The recreational striped bass fishing season will open on April 15th in state coastal waters south of the George Washington Bridge. The DEC is working collaboratively with the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission to require the use of circle hooks when fishing for striped bass with bait. The new requirement is intended to increase the survival rate of striped bass in the recreational fishery. The circle hook regulations are expected to take effect April 15th.
North of the George Washington Bridge, the recreational slot limit is no less than 18 inches and no greater than 28 inches. The season runs from April 1st through November 30th. In marine waters, the recreational slot limit is no less than 28 inches and no greater than 35 inches. That season runs from April 15th through December 15th. The recreational striped bass possession limit for all state waters is one fish per person. And you can read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. Porcupine Soup is reporting three seniors are being honored by Greene County for their exceptional community service. The Advisory Council to the Greene County Department for the Aging has named Barbara Calandria of Erlington the 2021 Senior Citizen of the Year. Duncan McPherson of Freehold will receive the Outstanding Contribution by a Senior Citizen Award, and Ann Heim of Leeds will receive a Certificate of Merit from the county. Caldera is the mother of two children and a lifelong Greene County resident. She served in the U.S. Army Nurse Corps in Vietnam, rising to the rank of Lieutenant Colonel. She later had a long career as a registered nurse and nurse practitioner and served as the administrator of Greene County Family Planning for more than 10 years. She has volunteered for Meals on Wheels and Community Hospice and belongs to a weekly knitting group that makes hats to donate to homeless shelters and Greene County Family Planning. She served as an active volunteer during the COVID-19 pandemic, assisting the Greene County Public Health staff in all ways possible. McPherson was employed by the New York State Department of Motor Vehicles for 42 years, where he retired as Director of Data Processing. He serves the Greene County region Blue Star Mothers since it was organized in 2014. He has served as Boy Scout troop leader, a food pantry volunteer, and a member of the Greenville Rotary Club. He is a member of the Greenville Board of Education and served as the school's baseball, cross-country, and wrestling coach from 2006 to 2011. Haim has been a volunteer for Greene County Department of Human Services since 2001, providing nearly 4,100 hours of service by delivering meals to the homebound and providing medical transportation. All three will receive special recognition from the county legislature at its May meeting. And you can read the full story at porcupinesoup.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes? Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Saturday should be sunny with a high near 47 and a low around 31 Saturday night with a 20% chance of snow showers after 2 a.m. Sunday should be partly sunny with a high near 50 and a low around 35. And Monday should be sunny with a high near 52 and a low around 35. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
As you all know, the Catskill Mountains are just about over that way and have for generations been considered an enchanted place, as they still are today. Well, at the base of these mountains, if you were to get out on Route 23A, just past 32, the area there between what is now Catskill and what is now Palinville, well, somewhere in there, there was a small village in colonial times. And in that village lived Rip Van Winkle. Well, the story of Rip Van Winkle was found among the papers of the late Dietrich Knickerbocker, who was a fictitious author invented by Geoffrey Crayon, an old Dutch gentleman. He himself was a fictitious author created by Washington Irving, who, as we now know, is responsible for our knowing the story of Rip Van Winkle. Gather around and all ye shall hear how Rip Van Winkle fell asleep for 20 years. Well, of course, I'm not giving away the story by saying that Rip Van Winkle fell asleep for 20 years. Everybody knows that. In fact, some people think that Rip Van Winkle was asleep for 100 years, or even 200 years. But it was 20 years. But that's no small potatoes. A lot can happen in the span of a generation. Enough to leave you bewildered if you were to go away and to come back. Why, just on my way here today, I met a woman across the street who said that she hadn't been to this spot in 25 years. And her mind was blown to see this place again. I'm sure little of it has changed, though everything around it must have changed some. Well, Rip Van Winkle, he was an affable, an easygoing, good-natured young man, and was much beloved in the community. Moreover, he was an obedient and henpecked husband. Perhaps owing to this meekness of disposition that he was so universally beloved in the village. But it is said that obsequious and conciliating men abroad are often under the strict discipline of shrews at home, which in many ways are considered a tolerable blessing. But if so, Rip Van Winkle was thrice blessed. Children would shout with joy when he approached. He assisted in their games, made their playthings, taught them to fly kites and to shoot marbles. They would climb on his back and hang from his coattails. And never a dog from the neighborhood would bark at him. He was very popular with the young ladies of the village as well. He would help them in all sorts of household chores and odd jobs that their husbands would not do for them. He was not afraid of helping to build stone walls or husk Indian corn, but he would attend to anyone else's business except his own. His farm was neglected, the fences falling down, the corn was ragged, the cow would get out amongst the cabbages, and his children were as wild and ragged as if they had belonged to no one. And his son, Rip, little urchin that he was, showed promise of inheriting his father's traits. Dame Van Winkle would scold him for his carelessness, his idleness, his thoughtlessness, and for letting his family go to ruin. To escape these scoldings and to find some peace of quiet, Rip would go to the local inn, where there was a sort of club of sages and philosophers and other idle persons of the village. Nicholas Vedder was the landlord of the inn and the leader of this group. When his opinion was wanted, all they had to do was watch the way he smoked his pipe. He would say nothing. But if something displeased him, he would draw on his pipe and emit short, frequent, angry bursts of smoke. But if something pleased him, he would draw on his pipe and spin out a long, tranquil cloud. He would sit in the shade of the tree, and as the sun moved, he would sit from his spot on the bench and shift over to wherever else there was shade under the tree. And by this fashion, the villagers could tell what time it was, for he was as accurate as any sundial. Until Dame Van Winkle would show up and scold Nicholas Vedder, too, for assisting her husband in his idleness. So Rip and his dog left the inn, passed the sign where there was a portrait of King George III hanging from the front of the inn, and walked up the mountain into the woods with his dog Wolf. Even the dog Wolf felt persecuted by Dame Van Winkle, who regarded him as his companion in idleness. Well, Rip and his dog Wolf finally reached the top of the mountain and sat down on a moss-covered precipice from which he could see and survey all of the Hudson Valley. He could see the future site of the bridge that was to bear his name in the 1930s. He could see the future site of the Catskill Game Farm, which closed a few years ago, and the future site of the Ace of Burgers, which closed its doors forever just this past February. And the spot he sat on was itself the future site of the Rip Van Winkle Inn, which was built in the 1860s and frequented by people going up the long mountain road to go to the Catskill Mountain House. But when the Otis Elevator Company built a cog railway up the mountain, both the road and the inn fell into disrepair, and the inn burned to the ground in 1918. Suddenly, Rip heard a voice, and he looked around to see who was calling him and heard, "Rip Van Winkle! Rip Van Winkle!" But when he looked to see who it was, there was only a crow circling overhead. Then he heard it again. "Rip Van Winkle!
Winkle, Winkle!
Rip Van Winkle!
Winkle, Winkle!"
Then he saw a stout, squarely built man dressed in antique Dutch garb hauling a wooden keg of liquor up the mountain. He silently signaled Rip to join him in carrying his burden, and Rip complied. They both walked up the gully until they came to a clearing where there were jagged precipices with gnarled trees with their roots hanging off the edge of the cliff, their branches poking into the sky. There was an assembly of men also dressed like this strange man in old-fashioned Dutch clothes, wearing several pairs of breeches and playing at ninepins. And when they would throw the ball, Rip thought he heard a sound like rolling thunder. They began to drink from this keg, and very gravely they signaled Rip to join them. He took a draught, and then another, and another, until he began to swim and feel so addled that he fell into a deep sleep. When Rip awoke, it was morning, and he saw that he had been asleep all night. "Oh, I am going to catch hell from Dame Van Winkle when I return," he thought. He looked for his dog, but his dog was gone. And he looked for his gun, and his gun was propped up there, all rusted, and the stock all worm-eaten. At first he thought those men were playing a trick on him and stole his dog and gun. But he could find no one on the mountain, and so he descended. But the gully that he and his companion had walked up the mountain on was now a ripping mountain stream, gurgling, burbling. He called for his dog. Wolf, he cried. But the only answer he got was from a crow on a lonely branch, as though it were scoffing at him. When he reached the base of the mountain, he saw some people he had never seen before. That's strange, he thought. I thought I knew everyone in these parts. They looked at him quizzically. They stared at him. They scratched their chins. And this made Rip scratch his own chin. And he discovered that his beard had grown a foot long. When he reached the village, he saw that it was larger and had grown more populous. There were new houses he had never seen, and his old haunts had disappeared. He went to his house. His house was deserted and covered with cobwebs, the windows broken, a desolate place. There was a half-starved dog that looked like Wolf that was skulking around, but when Rip called him by name, the dog growled at him and skulked away. He went to the inn, and there was the picture of King George hanging down. But it had been repainted so that his blue coat, his red coat, was changed to blue. And instead of a scepter, there was a sword. And underneath, an inscription saying, General Washington. And where the shady tree had stood, there was a naked pole with something that looked like a red nightcap on the top of it, with some stars and some stripes. Instead of Nicholas Vedder, there was a bilious young man there with tracts sticking out of his pocket, making vehement harangues about Congress, about the spirit of 76, about citizens' rights. He saw Rip Van Winkle and came up to him and said, Are you a Federalist or a Democrat? Rip Van Winkle said, I am just a harmless man and a subject of our King George III. To which the young man said, A Tory, a Tory, a spy, a refugee. Off with him, away from him, a loyalist Tory enemy. Who are you, and what are you doing here? Who are you to see? Said the bilious young man. I just came here to see some of my old friends who would hang around at the inn, said Rip. What are their names? Demanded the man. Rip said, Nicholas Vedder? Nicholas Vedder? Why, he's been dead and gone these past 18 years. Rip asked the names of some of his other friends. And he was told, well, they are gone these years too, killed in the wars. And one of them, why, now he is a member of the Congress. All of this talk of wars, of Congress, of citizens' rights, the spirit of 76. These things had no meaning to Rip Van Winkle. Until he asked, Does anyone here know Rip Van Winkle? Oh, Rip Van Winkle, of course, they said. Why, that's him standing over there, against that tree. And Rip looked and saw a young man in his 20s. Who is as equally ragged as himself. Well, if that's Rip Van Winkle, he asked, then who am I? I don't know who I am. If that's him, then I'm not me. Oh, out of me, all everything has changed. I am not myself, oh, I don't know who I am or what's my name? Rip was bewildered. Then a young woman came up to see who the strange man was. She carried a chubby child who was crying at the sight of this grizzled old man. "Hush, Rip," she said. "Hush, Rip. He won't harm you." And the name and the sound of her voice stirred a recollection in him. "What is your name?" he asked the young woman. "My name is Judith," she said. "And what was your father's name?" "Rip Van Winkle," she said. "But he has been away for a long time. We haven't seen him in 20 years. "What of your mother?" "Oh, well, my mother died a couple of years ago. She burst a blood vessel while scolding a New England peddler." Then Rip understood. He said, "I am your father. I was once young, Rip Van Winkle. Now old, Rip Van Winkle. I am your father, and Rip over there, he is my son." "Sure enough," said one of the old-timers from the village, "that's Rip Van Winkle. My goodness, where have you been these long 20 years? Rip told them the whole story, and how he had been asleep, and how he must have been enchanted. But people thought him out of his wits. Some did not believe him, but others did. In any event, he was welcomed back into the village. And he spent many, many hours sitting in front of the inn, listening to people talk of politics. But politics made no impression on Rip's heart. He was only glad to be free of the one form of despotism he knew, petticoat government. He cast his eyes upwards in a gesture of what could be considered either resignation to his fate or his deliverance. Yes, a lot can happen in 20 years, and perhaps in 20 years' time people will look upon you and I as being backward, old-fashioned, incompetent, sexist, and generally uncouth. Gather, O ye, and all on here. Hear how Rip Van Winkle fell asleep for 20 years.
Next on WGXC, we tune into WGXC newscaster Philip Grant.